Podcast. This is Andrew Kirkland stepping in for the intro that usually is done by Zach Cosby, who will not be joining us tonight. That guy gets a big win and thinks he doesn't have to come and join and give his insight as to what's going on in week two. So we have a special little gift for him, I guess, or for all of the listeners of the podcast, of the Sixth Sense podcast. We have a special guest tonight, and he is going to give the breakdown of a very, very entertaining matchup between himself and Cosby in week two. So we'll get to more on that later. But yeah, it's been a crazy start to the year. Myself, I am just terrible. I think I am going for a zero wins season. It's just pathetic. I apologize. Anything I say as far as insight I give to any of the listeners, take that with a massive grain of salt because I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know how to play this freaking game. Anyways, enough about my stupid squad. We're going to turn it over to Yorkie before we get to our special guest. But Yorkie, why don't you enlighten the listeners on some high energy Commissioner Corner this week?
Well, talk about shit. My team is gone directly to shit, considering I've lost my number one running back, second overall in Saquon Barkley, my number three running back in, now I can't even remember his name, Marlon Mack, who tore his Achilles, my number one wide receiver in Galladay hasn't played. He might have practiced this week. He pretty much fucked up his groin first week of practice, didn't even play. But I know injuries, we all say injuries, you know, you got to have some depth. But it was a crazy week. Nick Bosa, torn ACL. Saquon Barkley, torn ACL. Christian McCaffrey, high ankle sprain. Cosby all knows about those high ankle sprains. Probably gone at least 6 weeks. Drew Locke, okay, you know what, nothing too special, but sprained AC joint. Cortland Sutton, torn ACL, done for the season. Jimmy Garoppolo, high ankle sprain, probably gone for 4 weeks. Devontae Adams hurts his hamstring. Probably won't play this week. Trayvon Young, knee injury on cornerback from Baltimore. Knee, done for the year. Malik Hooker tore his Achilles. Safety for Indianapolis. But I don't think we've ever had this crazy amount of injuries in 1 week to some pretty big players. And then to top it all off, I think Tyrod Taylor's own team doctor punctured his lung when he was trying to give him a shot for some broken ribs. Might be a little malpractice suit there between the Players Association and the league. But the injuries were just crazy. Paris Campbell, knee. Bruce Irvin, linebacker for Seattle, torn ACL. Will Fuller, he's always hurt, but hamstring. So, crazy week for injuries. I know everyone talks about depth, but I mean, when you're losing stars left, right, and center, depth really don't matter.
Did you mention Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Okay, good. No, I think I wasn't sure if I heard that. Yeah, well, if you look at the top four picks in our draft, McCaffrey gone 4-6. Barkley, I don't know. I've heard he's out for the year.
Barkley's done for the year. He tore his ACL.
Yeah. Third pick was Zeke. He's okay. Fourth pick, Mike Thomas didn't play last week. It's crazy out there, and it's really hard in a deep league with a bunch of GMs that know what they're doing, right? I saw, like, I was going deep, like I was trying to hit the waiver wire on this week, but like I knew there was a lot of backups, RBs, that I couldn't get. Like, I think I was like 13th waiver wire spot, and I knew all the top guys, whether it was, I think it was, Mike Davis, I think he's in Carolina. I don't know. All the backups.
He's in Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Davis had, he went to the number one waiver priority in Clark Dino. Shooter McGavin had fifth. Dud of the Week, 6th. Mr. Larson, 11th. Chubb Nation, 13th. Discount Belichick, 14th. So he had six claims. So
you tried to get them, and you're like, I got to go in there just in case everyone else is
just
sleeping.
Just in case. Yeah, I was like, just in case. And then I was like, oh, I'll try it for Deion Lewis. And he went to the other week. Yeah. And he also had two other waiver claims in Terry Green Machine. And I also tried to put a waiver claim in. And then Keenan Cole, wide receiver for Jacksonville, had three waiver claims, four, but it went to Chubb Nation and three additionals, Discount Belichick, Dud of the Week, and Charlie Tweener.
Yeah, it was there was a lot of action.
There were a bunch of other waiver pickups, but none of them else had multiple waiver claims.
Right, exactly, yeah. But speaking of that, we are honored to have a guest this week of a person who is part of one of those successful waiver claims and those waiver offers. So without further ado, I just want to welcome J-Well, Dud of the Week, to the podcast. Jordan, how's it going this evening?
It's going terrific, fellas. What's shaking?
Oh, not too much. Just we were just talking about a lot of the injury problems. How's your team held up throughout a lot of these injury problems in the first 2 weeks of this season?
Not terribly. A couple injuries. Mostart had a tough go at some point, I think his knee. And Julio Jones, I think, has got a hamstring issue that might be, I don't know, a week or two. Who knows? He might play again, but evidently there's a hamstring and ACL issue in the NFL, in particular in week two. But it's, lots of injuries going around and a tough start for a lot of teams.
Well, I think, didn't you get impacted by, Raheem, the running back in the with the Niners?
Yeah, and that's where I picked up that special little Deion Lewis waiver pickup this week.
Yeah, exactly. All right, J-Well. So I think you've been on the podcast a couple of times. You're a returning guest, highly requested. For all the listeners and other GMs out there, why don't you give us a little bit of breakdown of, you know, your strategy going into this year? How did it change from previous years? And what are you looking to do to build out your squad, and maybe putting a couple PSAs out there to other GMs that are looking to do some trades?
Lots on unravel there. The draft was a bit of a, I don't know, I was at the end of the 14 team draft, so I snaked 14 and 15. I wanted two wide receivers right away, but I thought if coming back on the next round, Mahomes would be gone. Lamar Jackson was going to be gone. Kyler Murray maybe still there. And I wanted one of those three guys. So I took Mahomes at the 15th pick, which was very different than previous years. At least I didn't go tight end with my second pick like I did last year, which completely screwed me from the get-go. But after that, I was just trying to pick the best player available. I went to heavy wide receiver and then went heavy running back and kind of filled it in from there.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin, or McLovin, as Cosby would say, has he's been pretty solid for you in the wideout position. What did you think about drafting him, but having kind of a quarterback that isn't necessarily proven in this league? Does that have any impact as to you taking a wideout like that?
Oh, huge. Again, he was the best player available at the time. I kind of thought of him as kind of the this year's Chris Godwin, and I had Chris Godwin last year, who was a stud. And that's another guy who's hurt already.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just took the best player available. I know his quarterback is not awesome. Their running back situation is a bit mixed, so I figured he would get a lot of looks, and so far so good.
Yorkie, what do you got for J-Well tonight?
I like the Deion Lewis pickup. I think he's going to be, you know, the kind of that third round, third down, get a lot of catches. I mean, he was like that in New England and Tennessee. Julio Jones seems like he's hurt every year. I've had him a couple seasons. He seems like he always plays through hurt. That offense is going to put up a ton of yards. It's who knows what their defense can actually stop. Obviously, Mahomes in a big Monday night, maybe one of the biggest Monday night games we got coming up. So everyone's going to be watching that.
That's going to be massive, and it's going to be a lot of fun, that game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot of fun, not only for, obviously, J-Well, because he's got Mahomes.
Take the over.
What's that, sorry? Oh, take the over. Yeah, mm-hmm. What is the over? Do we know what that is yet? When do the odds come out on that? The lines come out on that? Do we know?
It might be out now. Let's take a look.
It's probably out now. I would say right now.
What, it's got to be like
83 and a half?
I was going to say like 79 or something like that. Like, it can't be that high, can it? That's ridiculous.
Let's take a look right now. What odd Sharks got it at?
Even like 80 and a half would be.
If my internet would decide to.
J-Well, are you betting a lot? Are you betting a lot right now on football this season?
It's actually not that high.
73,
74? No. 69? No. 54, I got it at.
Odd Sharks got it at 54, 53.
I'm literally betting the over right now. I'm just betting the over. I just bet the over. I just did it. So over 54. Over live there. $10 to win 20. Oh, not much. So okay, yeah. J-Well, what's that?
Well, you were asking about betting. Yeah, I'm betting NFL. I tried to get into some NHL and NBA, and that was very unsuccessful. So I thought I kind of don't follow those leagues that closely anymore. NFL is kind of the one I follow as close as anything. So I figure I'd stick to NFL, and yeah, I've won a couple, nothing major.
All right, now before we get into last week's action and get your insight as to or your roller coaster ride of a very, very good matchup against Cosby. Last week, one of the GMs out there made a comment that if he loses, he will make a trade every week after he loses. Have either of you guys been into any discussions with that GM to try to make that GM, you know, follow up his word and make a trade after he loses?
I've not.
Funny enough, I was thinking about that before I came on, and I thought, well, Ozzy's 0-2. I haven't seen a trade on the board yet. I'm gonna go take a look at his team right now. Sorry, sorry, brother. Go ahead.
I was gonna take a look at his team and see and see what he's got. I mean, everyone's gonna want Edwards-Helaire off him. I mean, he still's got you know, his quarterback's combined age is like 83, 84. Devontae Freeman just got paid, got a few bucks from the Giants, so that was a good draft little guy to stash away because he was probably going to get picked up.
Yeah, no, this that was very surprising to me. Like, I was looking at, you know, again looking at all the injuries, who was going to be who was going to be, you know, taking more of a lead role in the backfield. And then I was hearing rumors that Freeman was actually, you know, going to New York and potentially signing there. And then, so I looked at Freeman, the fact that he was on Ozzie's team, I think is just, it would be very interesting to see Ozzie's take on this. He'd probably say, yes, I had him on my team. Did he had him from the draft on his team? Is that correct?
Yeah, he drafted him. I was looking at that. Because I was trying to figure out how can I get Saquon Barkley, at least get some value for taking him second overall. But he did draft. No, he didn't draft him. He picked him. Would have been picked up right away. Because I'm looking at the draft. He didn't draft
him. Probably picked him up when he dropped Aaron Rodgers.
Let's see. Added players. View all. And let's see. We can sort it by the team. All teams, Tinder Assassins. He would have picked him up September 9th, and he dropped Keyshawn Vaughn, a running back on Tampa Bay, on September 9th. That's 7:49 in the morning.
So. Interesting. Well, now there's a call out to all the GMs in the league to talk with Ozzy to try to get a deal going with him. You always know he's good for a deal. J-Well, you ever dealt with Ozzy in the UFFL? Any ever done a trade with him?
We've definitely talked about a lot of trades. I don't know if we pulled the trigger on one last year. I think the first season we might have done one, but last year we did a lot of back and forth and never pulled the trigger.
How about you guys? I've definitely dealt with Ozzy. I love it how in this league, like, a trade is like a big deal now. Like,
oh, yeah.
And the reason for it is because I think there's usually a lot of work that goes into behind making it happen, right? So I think it's few and far between, but when they do, it's pretty interesting, and a lot of guys get jacked up for it. Now, J-Well, tell us about your feelings about after the big loss in week two and the Give Me Back My Hometown matchup with Cosby. I think you put up the most points for a loss. So obviously disappointing, but are you happy? Is there some consolation that your team, put up a good matchup or a good number of points?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with 144 and change. I mean, that wins most weeks. I was definitely a little cautious that he had basically his like four horses going. After my team was already done. And then I knew Wilson and Lockett it was either going to be a big game or not a big game, because New England's got usually a pretty good defense and they just roasted them. And I was hoping to contain that duo under 60. I think they came in at like 65 or 66. And then, I mean, the Vegas game was, Jacobs had, I think, like 35 points the previous week and Waller had mid-teens. So I knew it was probably going to be over as soon as the Russell Wilson Lockett combo made it within like 20 or 25. I texted Cos actually just before the game saying like 173.1 is your number. Don't beat me by like 5 points. At least get the high week. And he still came short of the high week.
Yeah. Delamere got it. I have the honor of playing Delamere this week, so this should be a lot of fun with Delamere just macking me around. Anyways,
it was all Waller that beat you.
Well, no, Jacob. He was saying Jacobs put up 35 last week, week one. So that's what I was saying. They basically flip flopped. Like, Waller went off this week, and Jacobs went off last week. But they both, you know, even still, like Jacobs running off with. You know, he had, what do you have, 13.5 points for a flex? That's pretty good. That's really good. Waller's really a beast.
Yeah, they basically all scored the exact same amount of points they did in week one. Like, he's Wilson was flex, like mid-40s, really Lockett was 18.
Yeah, Cosby's got a good, great squad.
His team's stacked.
Yeah. And this Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins, the guy I wanted. Didn't get him. Thought I was going to squeeze him out in late in rounds, but Cosby's a smart guy. This could be his year. You never know. Could be his year. But yeah, like you, tough loss. But I still, still like your squad. You know, the obvious with your running back going down, that's tough. What's your thoughts on takes on Tariq Cohen? How are you feeling him? After 2 weeks in the season, I know he's kind of a controversial. Everyone kind of likes him because they has a potential in a PPR league, but he can also bust. What are your takes on him right now?
I've had him before, and I think I've had him in his better years when he was kind of like a mid-teens guy and then would go off for like a high 20 couple season. He's been a dud through two games on a pretty bad Bears team that seems to be winning so far, mostly Trubisky. So, I mean, he just signed a big extension, literally, I think, like 2 hours before the game on Sunday. So I think it would have been jacked up to get $17 million or whatever he got for an extension. And then lays a 3.7 dud. So he's not hot trade bait at this point. So I'm going to hold him out for a few more weeks and see if he can right the ship, and then we'll take it from there.
I will trade you him. I'll trade. You want to do a trade live on the podcast right now?
Well, let me have a look, sure.
Yeah.
First
do you want
ever.
To go? Do you want to do?
Or Bobby Kirky.
Rob Gronkowski.
No.
You might as well drop him.
Hat-trick. Oh, fuck. I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, it's so frustrating.
Do you need a tight end? I got Godard on my bench, too.
I do need a tight end because O.J. Howard is not doing it for me. So who do you got on your bench?
I got Dallas Godard.
Goddard. Yeah, you might want to drop Gronk. You might not have.
I got to do so many things. I can't. There's no one to drop. Like, there's no one to pick up right now. It's just.
No.
It is so pathetic.
And
is it? Did it get harder or something like that? Like, did our waiver wire just get, you know, even like then last year? I feel like there was some players last year. There's no one right now.
Yeah. James White was going to have a big week last. I mean, they were going to have pretty. Their defense didn't show up, but they got stuffed on the 1 yard line with a winning touchdown. James White would have been a big help for them last week had it, but unfortunately his dad passed away.
That's terrible. How's his mom doing? Do you know?
She's in critical condition. He's probably not going to play this week either for you.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. And Sonny Michel is absolutely terrible.
Yeah, he's shit.
Yeah. Okay, Dallas Goedert. Would you do...
Like, would you trade any of your wide receivers?
Well, that's all I have. So, yeah.
Not on your bench.
Well, guys, I'm not trading guys on my bench. I'm not trading Michael Thomas or Deebo Samuel for him.
When's Deebo back?
Here's a question, Kirky. If Michael Thomas, let's say he's out for 3 weeks,
yeah,
and you happen to lose this week, would you be willing to trade him?
Yeah, I gotta do stuff at that point. Like, I have to. I'm being patient right now, but I can't just sit back and do nothing because if I go to 0-4 or 0-5, like. Yeah, I know guys have done it before. I think a few years ago, Bondo did it at an 0-5 start and came back. It's not that I don't like my team. I got to get James White back, but like the guy needs to take some time, obviously.
White's on hurt, but yeah, it's. I mean, right. Sammy Watkins kind of. I mean, has a monster week one, then puts up 2 points.
Yeah, I know. So. J-Well, would you do Dallas for Sammy?
But Sammy, I don't know. I have Sammy to think on that one.
Amazing offense, and it's going to be fun to watch him on Monday night.
And the only reason I'm saying maybe is because I have Mahomes, and there's obviously a couple times a year where you get the double up.
But he did
the same thing last year. He wrote for like a hat trick, and then he just ghosted the next 15 games.
You're right. And then he came back, and he was huge in the playoffs. He's a... Right.
Which doesn't help.
Oh, he's a frustrating player.
Because you're talking the actual playoffs, not the fantasy playoffs. I feel like he's like another Tariq Cohen, just in a different position.
Yeah. No, he's a frustrating player. The only other player that I could potentially offer you is Larry Fitzgerald.
All right. Let me
have a peek. That was some great podcasts here.
I don't even know if I want this guy. I don't know. I got to look at...
We'll take it offline.
But I know there's injuries in the tight end position where there could be players that can have, I think, good weeks if the starting or the regular tight end is not playing. I think George Kittle's coming back, so I don't think Jordan Reed's going to put up what he did last week. But there's a couple of teams in the same position that I'm watching right now. I don't want to talk too much about it, because I'm playing Delamere, and I feel like you got to be on your toes when you play Delamere. He could be trying to pick up players just to not have them on my team. Anyways, that's that. So we almost had a trade on the Sixth Sense podcast, which would have been entertaining. But so, all right, all the GMs are going to try to be like vultures on Ozzy's squad. So that'll be interesting over the next couple of days. So if we just recap what happened in the mowing the dud last week. So in the dud last week, it was Ozzy versus G&J. G&J snuck out the win on that one. That was much closer than I would have expected.
Chris Carson. I texted Gary. He was sleeping. But Chris Carson scored a touchdown on a wheel route in the back of the end zone to make him win that matchup with like 5 minutes left in that game.
Yeah, that's huge. That's were you watching that one, J-Well?
I was not.
No. You realize that Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett had already got their points on you. So you're like, fuck it, I'm going to bed. I don't want to watch this anymore. That one I think lived up to the hype of the dud. Like, it was a 120-119. It was a close matchup. The interesting thing about both the matchups that we picked were the closest matchups of the week, being both the dud and the mo. And in the mo, it was Yaney versus Stewart. And they had a 139-133 matchup, if I remember correctly. Yorkie, were you watching that one at all? Paying attention to what was going on in that one?
No. Now, after Saquon went down, I was so pissed off, and I was like, maybe New England can squeak out a win. But other than that, it was just like, my luck's gone to shit.
And yeah, that was pretty bad when Saquon went down.
It's never good when you get the notification your player has been gone on cart to the locker room, a potential torn ACL.
Yeah. Yaney's putting together another good squad this year. He's got, Josh Allen putting up 47 points almost, four touchdown passes, 417 yards passing. And he only did 18 yards rushing, which is, he typically gets a little bit higher than that. But yeah, Yaney's could do it again. Could really come back again and do a great, great job in this season. Were there any matchups you were watching, J-Well, just other than your own, but anything else you were watching last week to kind of be like, oh man, that guy got screwed or anything like that?
I usually do kind of once or twice, just a quick glance at the overall board just to see kind of if there's any major blowouts or if anyone's going to put up like a 200 spot. I wasn't really paying attention who was 1-0, who was 0-1, and kind of the ramifications of an early 2-0 or 0-2 start for teams. There was no individual matchup that caught my eye. I saw Delly put up a 173, which is big score for the week. And other than that, no individual matchups, just some good, nice, tight matchups kind of right across the board.
Yeah, I was just looking at Stu Farts, his matchup with Yaney here. But Stewart had a good week. He only put up 133, but he had a good week. Like, he had Edelman with 179 reception yards. Tyler Boyd had a receiving touchdown. Sanders, 20 points. And I think what really hurt him in that matchup was it was his quarterback. Carson Wentz only put up 14 points. So hey, Luke, if you want to talk quarterbacks, and maybe this is the PSA to the entire league, but Kyler Murray, I may have to do that. And my whole thesis on picking up Kyler Murray was, and you guys have probably heard this already from other experts like me in the NFL, in the fantasy realms, but second-year quarterbacks they've done pretty well the last couple of years. So come with your best offers. Anyways, okay, so looking ahead to this week. Oh, before we get to that, action going on in the waiver wires last night. We already talked a little bit about it, but who was up early? Were either of you boys up early doing some action at 4 o'clock in the morning or the 3 a.m. club? Were you in on that?
No. I tried it once, and I look at my phone, and I can't see straight. I'm like, I'm so fucking tired. I'm afraid I'm going to pick up someone stupid, so I've just stopped it. Anything I do is just, I'll do the waiver wire, but I'm not waking up at 3-4 a.m. just to beat the clock.
So the only guy that did, there was a guy at 3 a.m. and then there was another guy at 4 a.m. And that, and the guy that was up at 3 a.m. was also doing it at 4 a.m. too. But it was Delamere. Delamere, 3 a.m., September 23rd, picked up Tampa Bay, dropped Bryan Edwards. So he picked up the defense. And that defense is Tampa, and they're playing Denver this week. That'll be interesting. That was the defense that I drafted. So I feel like he's just trolling me right now. Anyways, and then Bonda was up at 4:04 a.m., picked up Jeff Wilson, running back in San Fran, had a whopping 0.3 fantasy points last week. He also picked up, so he did that. And then and Delamere picked up Joe Burrow
at 4 a.m. Henry was up at 4 a.m.
Henry was up then, too. Henry picked up Dalton Schultz, tight end in Dallas. Actually, that was the fucking guy I was going to take. Damn it, Henry. Fucking guy. I assumed that he was going to fly through. I was up. I got up around 6:30, and the guys that I wanted were gone. J-Well, do you ever get up at this time and do some stupid stuff like these other guys?
Not on purpose, no.
Ben is not getting you up in the middle of the night?
No, he sleeps like a champ.
That's awesome.
Yeah, fingers crossed that continues.
Yeah. All right, guys. Why don't we break down this week, going into this week? Why don't we look at the Mo's and the Duds, and see what we got here? Give the look of the matchups, and then J-Well, we'll put you on the spot because you're the special guest. But who would you put in the? We'll start with the Mo this week. Who would you put in the Mo? Yorkie, do you want to go then?
Yeah, I think we lost him. The Mo, I got that.
Do we really lose him?
Yeah, he's not on this.
Oh no, he left. Yeah, all right. What a great guy.
For the Mo, I got G and J versus Scotty Doesn't Know.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, he's back. So what happened there, Jordan?
Not sure. It just literally just kicked me out, and it was like,
how long were you talking before you realized you weren't on the podcast anymore?
Oh, I was looking at it.
I would have thought you would have given some great analysis on the Mo. Did you know we'd asked you to tell us who the Mo was going to be, and then you left?
Just crickets.
We had a good pause there. I was like, man, he's really thinking about this.
Dramatic pause.
But we transitioned to Yorkie, and Yorkie was ready to go. His Mo for the week was G&J versus Scotty Doesn't Know.
Yeah, nice. That's a good tight matchup. Let's go Chubb Nation with the 0-2s.
Oh, that's the matchup of the week?
That was my doubt of the week.
That seals your fate, basically. You go 0-3, it's a tough grind to get into the playoffs.
Oh, that's an interesting way to take this one. So Tinder Assassin in the Mo. Okay.
Yeah, this is a make or break week for those guys.
I York, you're probably thinking they were in the Dud.
Yeah, I have them in the Dud.
Well, let's.
That's my Dud of the week.
All right, so I feel like the Mo should be. Who's going to put up some big points. And I do feel as though it's probably going to be G&J and Scotty Doesn't Know. Although that Chubb Nation Tinder Assassin matchup any matchup with Ozzie is an entertaining matchup. I got to give the Mo to the G&J and Scotty Doesn't Know. So Cosby will be excited to be in that. I didn't really before we'll get the Dud, but then Yorkie, you mentioned something before the pod, and we'll comment on what your thoughts on the divisional matchups were that Henry was saying. But we'll talk on that in a second. But I think a lot of these divisional matchups or the conference matchups, which it may be, will play into the Mo's and the Duds. So, but I don't think that this week that would be the case. So, all right, moving our attention to the Dud. J-Well, what are your thoughts on the Dud?
Well, I figured you guys are going to go Chubb Nation, Tinder Assassin on the Dud. So I like that one actually as the matchup, just based on the records and sort of the outcome and the go forward. But for the Dud, just because I think it's going to be a huge blowout. sorry, Yorkie. Discount Belichick and the Terry Green Machine.
Oh, yeah, my team's shit.
I thought when you said just because it was going to be a huge blowout, I thought you were going to say me. But
I could have went either way, Kirky. Yeah.
Thanks for going. Damn. All right. So we had G&J and then Yorkie. What are you thinking about the Dud?
The Dud is Tinder Assassins. Tinder Assassins and Chubb Nation.
I just wish I was playing one of those guys right now. I just, oh man, I just need an easy win.
Yeah, there's no easy win. Everyone, like, unless guys.
No, Aussie's an easy win. Aussie's an easy win.
I mean, you should have kept Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Sure, dropped him.
Just ridiculous. All right. Well, so. J-Well, you went with Discount Belichick, Terry Green Machine, and okay, I'm gonna ride this wave of Tinder Assassin in the Dud. He's been in the Dud every week so far. J-Well, you were in the Dud first week, and then Tinder Assassin was in it last week with G&J. So I'm gonna go Tinder Assassin on that one, and it's interesting in the sense that one player, one of those teams will be 1-2, I guess, but it's I don't know if it's deserved, but it could be a good kind of momentum shifter to have one of those teams get off the schneid and get a win under their belt. So, all right, Yorkie, what were you saying before about the divisional matchups and Hendry's what Hendry was doing there?
So, the divisional matchups, you can't have an odd number. So every division either needs the same amount. Obviously, we can't do that with 14 teams. So I say we do two conferences or two divisions, an East and a West, and pretty much break it down that the Ray Lewis division and Winner, Gleed, Cosby, Kirky, and Ozzy. So you take those five. And then you just got to figure out of the Central who is probably – closer to the West between Stewart. I don't know where Delamere lives. Gary's kind of close to Central. I don't know where Chamber is. I wouldn't be in the West. And you figure out which one of those guys, which two of those are the closest to the West part of the city. Throw them in the West, throw the North with the Central. You make your two divisions or conferences of seven, and we go from there. And you can do rivalries that way. And we could actually set that up for next year if we want to have divisions.
Whoa. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
No, but here's essentially what B's. You can put divisions in there, but it's an overall record of who's going to make the playoffs.
Right. Okay. So what's the point of the divisions then?
It's just shits and giggles.
But you can actually show it.
You can show it in the standings as kind of the divisions, but basically what you do is for playoffs, it's just the top eight teams. It's not, you know, the top four from each division. It's the top eight.
Oh, okay. Well, that seems fun. I don't know where Chambers is. Where's Gary? Where is Gary in Toronto?
Gary is St. Clair, south of St. Clair, and in between Bathurst and Dufferin.
Okay, Delamere's further east than that.
That's like around Stewart, no?
Yeah, I knew Stewart was in that area because I saw him at a park when we were visiting with Gary.
Yeah, so I would say it's probably – I don't know where Chambers lives. Where does Chambers live? Does anyone know? Yeah, I feel like he's all over the place.
No.
I would say that you've got the West Division would include Stewart and Gary then. Delamere, Chambers, and Yorkie. You're going up to the North, which could be changed to the East.
And I don't know why.
That doesn't make sense because Yaney's out in Calgary.
Yeah, I just realized that. Why is Yaney in the North?
Fuck. What a guy. J-Well, what do you think about having these conferences set up? Are you all for it?
Yeah, I'm indifferent. I don't care. I think it's like if we just keep it's the same top eight teams that get in, and it's not like a conference thing where if you finish fourth in your conference, you automatically get in. I mean, if we're just keeping top eight teams, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you can get some chirping and some rivalry and stuff going. But otherwise, if it's top eight team for points, then whatever. Like you said, it's for shits.
Right. All right. So Hendry's not going to be happy about this. You know this, right?
Yeah, and you just take who's ever more east between Cosby and Ozzie in Georgetown. Who's ever more east? Because Kirk, you're in Burlington. Gleeder's in Burlington. Winter, you're in Milton. So it's Ozzie or Cosby. Who's ever more east in Georgetown goes to the east. Yaney goes back to the west, and yeah, your conference is right there.
Yaney's in the west.
Yaney's in the west, and you move Gary and Stu Fart from the central to the west.
Yeah.
There we go. There's our divisions. Hendry, set it up on whatever you can on their Air Canada mechanism that you think you were so proud of using.
Yeah, he very much was. So, okay. All right, well, there you go. There we have it. We just got to figure out who is further east in Georgetown.
Yeah. So that could be the 40-minute challenge.
Yeah, okay. So we'll write that in the show notes. Who is further east? In G-Town. Okay. All right. I guess, is there anything else you want to bring up now this week, Yorkie, that we usually bring up in the past? Anything you want to tell the GMs, or should we wrap it up here?
I mean, we pretty much wrapped it up. I mean, we all know the rules about the COVID. If I have to get into explain this again, I might just tell everyone to go fuck themselves.
Because we're good this week, right?
No, I know.
Yeah. I just think that this is a big week. J-Well, you have anything you want to leave the guys with?
I mean, there's some good matchups this week coming up. I mean, obviously, Chubb versus Tinder for the battle of the 0-2s is going to be maybe they'll tie. That's what I hope for. the 0-2-1.
Yeah. If there's a tie, Cosby will go nuts.
No, just the... No, in terms of, I actually had a question for you guys.
Didn't we have a tie with decimal points?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your question, J-Well?
No, I had a question actually for you guys, just in terms of biggest surprises through week two, just in terms of individual performance and then team. Not actually in the fantasy league, but in the NFL.
Turkey, you want to go?
I would say... Well, I think just injuries in general have been a big shocker. I don't know. Maybe this is the case. I can't remember from previous week twos. But I do feel like if I remember correctly, I feel like week two is a killer week, right? I would say just overall surprises. A team that's actually surprising me a little bit is the Raiders in how well they are putting up points this year, and the fact that they beat New Orleans on the Monday Nighter kind of shocked me a little bit too. And I was just watching some guys on that squad that I wanted. I really wanted their tight end. And he actually went relatively late to other tight ends, but I would say that has been a little bit the injuries, and even with Kansas City struggling this past weekend, only putting up 23 points, That was a little bit surprising to me.
Well, that was a divisional matchup too.
Yeah.
And in LA. I guess my biggest takeaway would be the COVID stuff, that not a lot of players, because they're not bubbled, haven't tested positive for COVID. Guys getting tested every day. So I guess guys are doing their part. Let's see what happens, you know, when you guys are 23, 24, got money, and their team's like 1-7, what happens? And, you know, in weeks 8, 9, let's see how the COVID cases are going that way. But in terms of like a surprise team, I mean, Chicago's a terrible 0-2, 2-0 team. Minnesota's kind of like, well, Kirk Cousins, like, where are you? Drew Brees, you need to throw the ball downfield, hasn't really done that. So, I mean, the Baltimore-Kansas City stuff, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, those guys, I mean, obviously one's going to get a loss unless they tire it, I mean, this week. But I guess those would be my biggest surprises.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. This was similar to this past week. Like, if we look at the Monday Nighter, KC, Baltimore, there'll be tons of guys going, right? So tons of fantasy players will be in that game. The Sunday Nighter, Green Bay and New Orleans, there'll be tons of players in that one, right? In the 4 o'clock games, you got Dallas, Seattle. Arizona's in the 4 o'clock game. Denver's in a 4 o'clock game. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of action later. I guess that's what I'm also noticing, is a lot of action later in the week. I guess that makes sense. You want to put the good, you know, the high offensive teams in primetime, right? But, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what happens this week, later in the week. And like, JWoww, you saw last week, things can change rather quickly, right?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up again.
Sorry about that. Believe me, you're one. I have 223 points this whole season. I put up a whopping 113 and a 110. So you can say whatever you want to me. You're better than I am, that's for sure. All right, okay, good. I think we've kind of covered everything off and set the stage for what's going to be a lot of moving things going on here, a lot of where people can really solidify their kind of positions in the overall UFFL. And some people got to get off their hopper. Four teams are winless. Four teams are undefeated. Let's see how long. There'll be at least one team getting a win this week. That's for sure. We'll see if those undefeated streaks continue on. All right. I think we'll shut it down for the night. Thank you, everyone, for listening. JWoww, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have your insight. I think there's some trades brewing on your squad, whether it's with me or with Ozzy, as all the GMs in the league are going to be looking at Ozzy's squad to make some action happen. So, all right, gentlemen, thanks for joining. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have yourself a good night, and we will talk to you in 7 days.
Thanks, boys. Good luck.
See you, fellas.